Hello, welcome to the Believer's Toolbox with Innocent Times. And this podcast is dedicated to teaching you the essential tools for living out your Christian faith in a practical and understanding way. Today, we continue our series on Faith Helpers. Faith Helpers, praise God. A brief background to this series. I remember a few years ago, the local church I was pastoring then, there was a bit of financial crisis with the men in church. Some had lost their jobs, some were in between jobs, and things were a bit rough. And also in my personal life at that time, I was believing God some form of financial breakthrough because of the things I had in front of me at that time. And I used to take out time to go pray, fast, you know, just to hear God and get a breakthrough for not just myself, but for my brothers in church. And in the midst of that prayer sessions, that's when the Lord told me about Faith Helpers. And he said, your faith is shaking. He said, if you believe these four things, which I'm going to be sharing in this series, they would help your faith. And the four things are believing in God's love for you, believe in God's integrity, believe in God's unlimited power, and believe that God is never late. I'll take them again. Believe in God's love for you, believe in God's integrity, believe in God's unlimited power, and believe that God is never late. Praise God. And he said that to me, and he said, your faith is shaking, but if you believe these four things, they would boost your faith, they will help your faith, and you will get the end of your faith. And truly, I began to study these things and have better understanding of them. And really, I got the miracles, and the brothers also got the miracles that they desired. Praise God. Let's go to our key text, Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41. Before we read our key text, let's share a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your precious holy written word. I ask that you would teach us, you would guide us, you will grant us revelation knowledge, practical things that we can do to walk in victory in times of crisis. In the name of Jesus, amen. Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41. I'm reading the Amplified Bible, the classic edition. It says, on the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us go over to the other side. And leaving the throng, they took him with them, just as he was in the boat in which he was sitting. And other boats were with him. Verse 37. As a furious storm of wind of hurricane proportion, that is serious, right? Arose, and the waves kept beating to the boat, so that it was already becoming filled. Verse 38. But he himself was in the stern of the boat, asleep on the lather cushion. And they awoke him up and said to him, Master, do you not care that we are perishing? So Jesus spoke to them and told them, let's go to the other side. They obeyed Jesus. They acted in faith. Just like many of us, probably in a time of prayer or through the scriptures, we found God's word and we started to act on that word. We took steps of faith in that word, with that word. But in the midst of it, you know, faith is always easy to start. It's to sustain faith is where the challenge is, where the discipline is. That's where it is. Many times it's good to start. Many times people find it easy to start out in faith. It's to sustain it to the end and get the results is where the challenge is. And for them, the disciples here, they were new to Jesus. This were their very few first encounters with Jesus. And he told them, let's go to the other side. And they obeyed him. They followed him. But in the midst of going to the other side, the storms came, and they asked him a question. He was asleep. You know, have you ever been in that place where you feel God is asleep on your matter? Or God is asleep concerning things that concern you? Or God is just not answering? You are not there. And I like to say to young believers, don't get condemned. Sometimes we hear some people teach faith, and we ask ourselves, when are we going to be like this faith person? When are we going to have so much faith? No. Start from where you are. Start from where you are. Now, verse 35 says, but he himself was in the stern of the boat, asleep on the ladder cushion. And they awoke him and said to him, Master, do you not care that we are perishing? And I've said this over, many believers have asked this question. Many people. And if you're asking this question right now, don't feel condemned. Don't feel like, oh, how I wish I wasn't asking God this question. Don't condemn yourself. God sees your heart. He knows how you feel. And that's why we are bringing this series to you. Verse 39, and he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, hush now, be still. Oh, Master Jesus. And the wind ceased, sank to rest as if exhausted by its beating. And there was immediately a great calm and a perfect peacefulness. Verse 40, he said to them, why are you so timid and fearful? How is it that you have no faith, no firmly relying trust? So his question to them about him not caring was that they did not have trust. And truly, what relationship? You know, I ask you a question. Imagine a husband and a wife ask, they have issues, and the wife, you know, asks the husband a question, you don't care about me, and things like that. Yeah, maybe in our natural understanding, that's the way we think. Maybe it's just an emotional thing. But with God and with Jesus, that question about not caring meant that they did not trust him, meaning that they didn't trust him enough that he cared for them, that they would not perish in the sea. You need to understand that God cares about you enough. And Jesus said, don't you trust me? Don't you trust me? So we talked about what trust is from the first day, that faith, the first and basic definition of faith is trust. It's trust. Yes, there is a confession part of faith. Yes, there is a prayer part of faith. Yes, there is a confidence part of faith. There are lots of other angles to faith. But I believe that the principle and the foundation for faith is trust. It's just like a marriage. The foundation of a marriage is trust. If you take away trust from a marriage, the foundation of the marriage is shaking. The same with God and I, or with Jesus and us. The foundation of our relationship is trust. Do you trust him in the midst of the storm? Do you trust him to show up in the midst of the storm? And this series of Faith Helpers will help you when your faith is shaking. Yes, you started out in faith, but right now your faith is shaking. Faith Helpers will help you. If you will learn these four things, if you have an understanding of these four things, and we started talking about the first one, which is believing God's love for you. We talked about believing in God's love for us. And today we want to drill down a bit. One of the primary things to understand about God's love, or should I say to have a very good understanding of how much God loves us, is to look at what he did for us through Jesus Christ on the cross. It's look at what he did for us through Jesus Christ on the cross. Let's go to John chapter 15, verse 12. I'd like you to get a Bible, you know, and follow the scriptures, right? Get a Bible. John chapter 15, verse 12 to 13. It says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Verse 13 says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friend. Greater love, oh boy, has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friend. So if you ever doubt that Jesus loved you, or the Father loves you, remember what he did on the cross. He died for you. There's no other greater expression of love than this. That he died for you on the cross is the biggest expression of God's love towards you. I know you might have challenges right now, probably in your health. And the devil might want to bring doubts in your head that maybe God doesn't love you and that love you, and that's why you are going through what you're going through. I would like to tell you it's a lie. Maybe you're going through a financial challenge, but you are going through a divorce, or you're having challenges in your mind, in your mental health, whatever it is, and you feel that you've been abandoned. I'd like to tell you that according to the scriptures and what we know, Jesus died for us. There is no greater love than this, that one should die for his friend. Jesus died for you. Jesus, if he could die for you, what else wouldn't he do for you? Oh boy, I don't want to jump ahead of myself. Feed on that. The storms are coming. You think you're going to sink in the storm. And your faith, your trust in God, your faith in God is shaking. Remember that this God you're talking about sent his son to die for you. Remember that he did that. That's how much he loves you. He won't allow you to go down in the storm. He won't allow you to go down in the storm. He won't. He won't. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1 says, he was delivered. Who has believed our reports? Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He has no form of comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. You know, verse 1 says, who has believed our report? You and I have believed the Lord's report. If you believe in Jesus, then you believe in the report of the Lord. You believe in the report of the Lord. Unto whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? The strength of the Lord been revealed. Verse 3. He is despised and rejected by man. This is what Jesus suffered on the cross. You know, Isaiah 53 describes the sufferings of Jesus on the cross. The sufferings of Jesus. Verse 3. He is despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. You know, the prophet looked into the future when Jesus was crucified on the cross by the soldiers. And the Bible says that, Isaiah was saying that his body was so battered that nobody could look at him. Oh, I know maybe some of us have watched a few movies there, how they showed how Jesus was being whipped and the things that he was, you know, that they did to his body. But it's nothing compared to what really happened. The prophet Isaiah says this, that it was so bad that they couldn't look at his face. They couldn't look at his body. His body was damaged. The body of Jesus was damaged. That's how much he loves you. He went through that kind of ordeal for you. You see, when you think of that, and you look at your present circumstance and challenge, you know that the person that went through that for you is going to come through for you now. He cannot go through all of that for you, and it's just a job that now you think that God's not going to get you? Or is it now that that sickness is going to kill you? If he went through all that for you, it says he is despised and rejected by men. He was so bad. His body was torn apart. His flesh was damaged. Oh boy. Verse 4. Surely he bore our griefs. He carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken. This man Jesus, this our Lord Jesus, he took our griefs. He took our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. I like to focus here. Jesus was smitten by God. Yes, in the natural, he was being smitten by men. But that happened because the Lord permitted it. The Lord had smitten him in the realm of the spirit. Smitten by God. He put our griefs on him. Yes, they used whips on Jesus. But in the realm of the spirit, the Lord put our sicknesses on him. The Lord put our griefs on him. The Lord put those things you are challenging on him. This is what Jesus did for us on the cross, child of God. Verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. Oh boy. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we were healed. Oh boy. Oh boy. When you feed on this, your faith is stirred up. When you feed, you know, let me tell you something about faith. Yes, you can get your scripture on, let me give a good example, maybe finances, for example, and you have a need, and you take Psalm 23, verse 1, and you say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That is true. The Lord is your shepherd, you shall not want, right? Or the Lord shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory, which is true. but that you will be tested. And when it's tested, you need these scriptures like this to boost that one. You need to have faith in this. That look, the same Jesus that did this for me on the cross, he paid this sacrifice. That's how much more he loves. That's how much he loves me. He's going to come through for me with Psalm 23. He says, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. I'd like to read you the New Century Translation. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. It says, but he was wounded for the wrong we did. He was crushed for the evil we did. The punishment which made us well was given to him. Oh, glory to God. The punishment which made us well was given to him. And we were healed because of his wounds. The Amplified puts it this way. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our wickedness. Crushed. Our sins, our injustice, our wrongdoings. The punishment required for our well-being fell on him. The punishment required for our well-being now. The punishment required. Whatever is required for your well-being, Jesus has paid the price. Whatever is required, I'll say it again. Whatever is required for your well-being, Jesus has paid the price. Is it for your financial well-being, your physical well-being, your marital well-being, your mental well-being, for your children? Whatever it is, it says the punishment required for our well-being fell on him, and by his stripes, by his wounds, we are healed. Child of God, the Lord was so interested in your well-being, Jesus paid the price. Jesus took the punishment so that we'll have a good life. This is how much he loves you. This is how much he loves you. I'd like to read another scripture, Ephesians chapter 5, from verse 1 to 2. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us, and gave himself for us, and as what? An offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. And giving himself for us, an offering. Jesus gave himself as an offering, a sacrifice to God for our lives. This is a major faith booster. If your trust in God is shaken, focus on God's love for you. If your trust in God, or you're in the midst of a faith project and the storms are rising, take your eyes and put it on what Jesus did for you on the cross, and your faith will be strong again. Praise God. Praise God. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, the NIV version. And all are justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement. You can see the word again. Sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. To be received by faith. To be received by faith. Jesus paid the sacrifice. He paid. That's how much he loves us. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's bring this to a wrap. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. It says that, but God, Romans chapter 5 verse 8, but God demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I like to dwell on this a bit. It says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know, a lot of times when we, in the journey of life, we make mistakes. Sometimes we sin. And the devil lies to us and tells us the reason why we are going through what we are going through is because we sinned. because we disobeyed God and we did something wrong, and that is why God is the one punishing us. Child of God, that's a lie. That is a very, very strong lie from the pit of hell. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, it says God demonstrated his love towards us in that while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us while we're still sinners. So the problem with sin has been dealt with. The Amplified puts it this way, and I like the way the Amplified puts it. It says, God clearly shows and proves his own love for us by the fact that while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us. You know, Colossians chapter 2, verse 14, the NIV says this, haven't canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness. Let nobody put an accusation on you. Don't let the devil lie to you. The Bible says it has been canceled. Jesus took it away. He says, haven't canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. You see, one of the things that affects people through their faith project is condemnation. They make a mistake here, they should have not done something, and because of that, the devil lies to them that you're not going to get what you're trusting God for because of the sin, because of the things you did. The Bible says in Colossians 2, verse 14, the NIV, haven't canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away. Look at the word, past tense. He has taken it away. Not he will take it away. Not he's taking it away. He has taken it away, nailing to the cross. No one can bring a charge against you. No mistake would warrant God to punish you. The Lord does not punish. That's how much he loves us. Praise God. Hallelujah. We are running out of time. And let's just read our last scripture for this episode. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. It says, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He says, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Take a minute to think about it. He who did not spare his son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Child of God, if the Lord gave you Jesus, he gave the life of Jesus for you, what else can't he give you? What else can't he give you? Ask yourself, is it a house? Is it a car? Is it a child? Is it a job? Is it your mental health? Is it healing your body? If he gave you, you know, I remember a story I heard a long time ago, and I like to share this. You know, a preacher said something. He said he wanted to go for an event, a preaching engagement, and his car was bad. And his father-in-law was living close by, and they had, for one reason or another, they communicated with their father-in-law. His father-in-law called him and his wife, and he told him, oh, I'm having this challenge. And his father asked him to come and pick up the car, his own car, to go for the event. And he said he was shy and all of that. He didn't want to do that. And his father-in-law asked him a question. He said, If I was willing to give you my daughter, is it a car I won't give you? Is my daughter not more valuable than the car? This, you know, that I will never forget that illustration. It stuck with me, and it perfectly explains the scripture. In fact, let's read the Message translation. It says, so what do you think? With God on our side like this, I'm reading from 31 to 34. It says, how can we lose? If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embarrassing our condition, embracing our condition, and exposing himself to the worst by sending his son, is there anything else he wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? You know, whenever the devil puts a picture in your face and say, you can't get this because of XYZ, just put the cross. Put the cross by it, you know the greater than mark. And put the cross is greater than the house. The cross is greater than my debt. The cross, Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, is greater than sickness. He said, if he gave us that, wouldn't he give us everything else freely? And who would dare tangle with God by messing with one of God's chosen? Oh, glory to God. Who would dare even point a finger? The one who died for us, Jesus is not condemning us. Who was raised to life for us in the presence of God at this very moment, sticking up for us. Jesus is sticking up for us. Jesus is sticking up for us. Go back and read Romans 8:31-34, Message Translation. He's sticking up for us. Don't forget that illustration. If he gave you Jesus, won't he give you other things? The sacrifice of Jesus is greater than anything else. And if he gave you Jesus, he will give you anything else you desire. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. God bless you. I'll see you on the next episode of the Believer's Toolbox.